Brethren, it's easy to be a tough guy or a tough woman when you're not under enemy persuasion. It's easy to say, "but if not," when it's not for real. Because there's no challenge. There's no test. But where do we really stand, brethren, on the scripture, Daniel 3:18? You don't have to turn there now. We'll go there shortly. But where do we stand? Because it says, "but if not." And this was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were standing their ground. And God forbid that anything happens to any of us or anybody that forces us to be in the moment of, "but if not." Let me pose a couple of scenarios to you. If you were approached by a group of thugs today, and the leader, the alpha of this group, was forcing you or encouraging you to take someone's life or to be killed, where do you stand? Where do I stand? I mean, we're all tough when it's not for real. But what would you do? I mean, really think about it, brethren, because there's a lot of crazy stuff happening today, and we have to be ready. We have to be ready to say, "but if not," and stand by it. That's what God is looking for. True believers. Scenario number two. What if you were approached by a high-ranking political leader and told to push a button that will kill millions and millions of innocent people, and you refuse? Or if you refuse, you will be jailed for life or possibly tortured to death. What would you do? What would I do? You know, we don't think about these things, but that's where we are today. It seems that Christians have always lived in the "but if not" moment. It's just that with everything going on in the world today, so much evil, people literally being used as targets, it's escalated. What do you do? What do we do when our stability, our strength, our consistency, our faith, is tested? If we are challenged by the enemy, what do we do? When our life is turned upside down, what do we do? When our faith is tested, brethren, we're instructed to stand firm. When the moment arrives, God is looking for believers. You know, we all come to a crossroads in life where we feel God isn't there for us. And we say things like, "why hasn't God provided the finances we need? Why hasn't God healed me? Why can't I get that job?" Whatever it is, brethren, we have to be able to say, "but if not." But if not, I will stand strong in my belief and in my faith in God. You know, there was a king in Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king. He ruled with a strong hand. And when he issued an order, he meant business. So he made this golden image. And then he issued an order. And his order was that everybody under the reign of his kingship had to bow. before the golden image and worship it. Nebuchadnezzar called all of his top officials, the sheriff, the mayor, governor. He called all of his top officials in, and they had this dedicatory service for this golden image. And then he said to his officials, I am instructing you to see that everybody bows before the golden image. That's what he wanted. But brethren, there was a problem. There was a huge problem. And the problem was, and his officials noticed it right away, there were some Jews. Three of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bow. And his officials said, Your Majesty, you put these men in charge, and they're not paying you any attention. They refuse to serve your gods. They will not worship the golden statue that you set up. They are being disobedient. Let's go to the book of Daniel, and let's pick up the account in Daniel 3. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Daniel 3, and let's begin reading in verse 14. Daniel 3 and verse 14. So Nebuchadnezzar gets the news that these three men did not bow. So in verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, I can't pronounce that word, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, he said, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? So he was going to give them a second chance. But they still stood their ground. That's strong. That's firm. That's faith. They were ready. These men were saying, and I'll quote Martin Luther King Jr., he said, it's imperative that we are disobedient to a king in order to be obedient to the king. So it's important to see that there are times when man-made law is out of sync with the moral laws of the universe, and it's called bad government. Christians can be an annoyance to bad government because we get in the way. We slow things down. Why? Because Christians have values and godly principles that interferes with the wicked government of the world. True Christians oppose certain government-funded programs, and there are many. One is abortion that is opposed because we oppose corruption, which irritates certain politicians, because we prefer leaders who live moral lives. Satan is behind all of this. And know this about Satan, brethren. He does not want casualties. You know what he wants? You know what he really wants? He wants converts. Satan wants to be worshipped by you and by me. He has been given authority to try and convert us, to make us bow down to him. That's what he wants. Let's go to the book of Revelations, Revelations 13. Again, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, and let's begin reading in verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This scripture is saying that Satan will conquer many of God's people and rule over them if we don't stand firm, if we are not ready. Satan will establish worldwide dominance, and you can see it already. He will demand that everyone worship him, and many will. Everyone except the true believers. Those who stand firm in faith. Those who say, but if not. Brethren, true believers will be persecuted. And if we refuse to worship the beast, God's people will suffer. Temporarily, of course, but we will be rewarded with eternal life in the end. And that's what the scripture is saying. Listen, we're moving quickly to a one world government. Every day. The America we've known is being diluted and absorbed into globalism, spurred on by those who will not stand for what is right. They're determined to make everyone conform. Government today more and more says, we will arrest you for contempt of court or take away your tax-exempt status because you're in the way of progress. Christians, in other countries, Christians who do not bow are being persecuted and sometimes put to death. Let's go to the book of John, John 16. New King James Version, John 16. And let's begin reading in verse 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. This scripture is saying Satan will definitely conquer many people in the world. And it's already happening every day in today's society. And brethren, you know the story of Saul, who later became Paul, under the authority of the high priest. Saul went through the land hunting and persecuting Christians, convinced that he was doing the right thing. So when you stand firm and say, God says this is wrong and that is right, you will be persecuted. This is the force we're up against. And Satan was behind all of this in Daniel's day, and he is certainly behind it today. There are times when human law is out of harmony with God's law. And when that happens, we have an obligation as God's children to stand our ground. God has our back. I know it's scary. And if we do this, we'll be in good company. We'll share the company with the likes of Jesus Christ and the early Christians who refused to bow. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men never doubted God's and His power as they did what they did. They made it very clear they knew God had the power to spare them. And here's my point, brethren. Know this. If you forget everything that is said today, I hope you won't forget this. Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. Whatever your fiery furnace is today, He is able to deliver you. But if He doesn't deliver us, but if not, we still can't bow. And that's what these men were saying. They said, you can do whatever you want to do to us, but we won't bow to your golden image. They were saying, our faith is so deep, we are a part of something that is so dear and precious that nothing can turn us away. That's what they were saying. And this simply means that the ultimate test of one's faith is his ability to say, "But if not," and have faith and trust in God. Again, I'll quote the late Dr. Martin Luther King. Dr. King said, there's two kinds of faith. He said, there's the if faith, and there's the though faith, T-H-O-U-G-H. The if faith says, if all goes well, if life is hopeful, prosperous, and happy, if I don't have to go to jail, if I don't have to face the agonies and burdens of life, if I'm not ever called bad names because of taking a stand that I feel I must take, if none of these things happen, then I'll be okay. Then I'll have faith in God. That's the if faith. You know, a lot of people have the if faith. You know, Jacob found himself counting on the if faith once. His faith was contingent upon an if. Yes, it was. Let's go to the book of Genesis and we'll pick up the account there. Genesis 28. I'll read this one out of the New Living, NLT. Genesis 28, and let's begin reading in verse 20. Genesis 28 and verse 20 out of the NLT. Break it into the middle of the story here. Jacob made this vow. If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God, and this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place of worshiping God, and I will present God a tenth of everything he gives me. That's the if faith. Jacob didn't quite get it at the time. And then there's the though faith, T-H-O-U-G-H. This faith says, though things go wrong, though evil is temporarily triumphant, though sickness comes, I'm going to believe anyway. I'm going to have faith anyway. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kind of faith. Unquote. Brethren, life has a way of turning upside down when you least expect it. The but if not moment is sometimes unexpected. And I'll give you an example. September the 11th, 2001. America's faith and stability was challenged. It was unexpected. How did you react that day? I'll tell you how I reacted. I was shocked. I was scared. I was angry. And I think most Americans felt the same way. But let's dig a little deeper. How about Todd Beamer? Woke up that morning, probably had breakfast, kissed his family, and left for work. Had no idea of the challenge ahead of him. Todd was a passenger on board of United Airlines Flight 93, which was hijacked by Al-Qaeda, a group of thugs. And Todd and the other innocent people on board Flight 93, in just a matter of minutes, after takeoff, their lives changed. They were under the order of the enemy, a thug, to the point of no return. And in my research, I found that Todd was God-fearing, faithful. He was a courageous man. I don't know what his measure of loyalty to God was, but he definitely ran his own race. And Todd's last recorded words were, "Men, are you ready?" He said, "Let's roll." They were in their fiery furnace, This was their but if not moment. Now God could have miraculously landed that plane, took care of the enemies, but He didn't. But they were ready. You know, in life people tell us to run our own race, and there are times we get confused with competing against others, and we relish in the thrill of victory over people. But that's not the race that God's talking about. God instructs us to run a race that's our race, and the race that God is talking about is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. God's race is about faithfulness, putting Him first in front of all things, so that we inherit the crown of righteousness. That's the race we want to run. You know, walking with God is not easy. There are times it's a challenge. And if we are to be successful, in our walk with God, we can't set our pace by the pace of other men. We can't allow someone to lead us astray. We have to stand firm. And I know it's easier said than done, but that's where we have to stand. We have to set our time and by the pace of God Himself. You know, going back to biblical history, Abraham's faith was challenged by one request. A request made by God Himself. A request that would be his greatest challenge. Let's go to the book of Genesis, if you will. Genesis 22. And let's pick up the story. Genesis 22 and verse 1. Genesis 22 and verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father, he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And verse 10, And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay him. But the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said to Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. That's a but if not moment. That is a but if not moment. What a challenge. What a test. And the crux of the test was that would Abraham put God first in his life? Would anything or anyone come between Abraham and his God? And Abraham was ready. If there ever was a test that demonstrated one's loyalty, this was the test. Abraham and Sarah waited for a long time for Isaac. And now he was to give him back to God as a sacrifice. That must have been one of the most difficult moments in Abraham's life. It's important that we realize in this test that God did not ask Abraham to love his son any less. but to love God more, to put God first in his life. And that's the key to this scripture, is putting God first. This principle is still valid today. God wants us to love him more than anything, anyone, or any incident. There should be no thug, no leader before God. It's all about faith. And Abraham shows remarkable character regarding faith, putting God first in his life. And by his example, we learn lessons of faith. The first lesson we learn is that faith changes people. Abraham, in the beginning of his years, of his life, was with his father out gallivanting and serving other gods. And God called him out of that lifestyle. Faith in God changed Abraham. And the second lesson we learn is that faith has no age restrictions. Abraham was 99 years old. Sarah was 89 years old when they were promised a child of their own. And the chances of having a baby at 89 was near zero. But God is bigger and stronger than the years that wither our bodies. And the third lesson we learn is that faith is courageous. God, whom Abraham was not very familiar with at first, called him away from his land, his family. He was instructed to leave. Not knowing where he was headed, he went anyway. Abraham put God first. He made some difficult decisions that took courage. And the fourth lesson we learn is that faith is a race to the finish. Abraham kept his faith until the very end. He kept moving forward, running his race. Abraham was a great man with immense faith and loyalty, which was evident because he put God first in his life. His faith in God changed him. He met his but if not moment without hesitation. And in closing, brethren, you know, faith can change us. It can turn us from lost to found, from blind to seeing, from hopeless to hopeful. Faith changes people. We have to know that God is stronger than the years on our bodies. And you can still have an impact on the world through Christ, no matter how old or how young you are. It takes courage to put God first. Courage does not know what the outcome will be. But you go anyway. You do it anyway. You stand your ground anyway. Brethren, we have to run our race to the finish. There are no do-overs. This is it. And Scripture tells us time and chance happens to all of us. Man does not know his time. Brethren, you have to be ready for that but what if not moment. We live at the crossroads of life where allegiances and loyalties divide our conscience. Where commitment to a king means life, but commitment to God means life everlasting. What should a Christian do when faced with a test between human authority and God's authority? What should we do? We should aim to serve God. Our motive should not be our ego or to protect our investments. Nor should we seek revenge. We should approach the situation with a spirit of submission to God first. And remember, brethren, walking with God is not always easy. But that's the race we're instructed to run. This race is run on faith. And when things don't go our way, when we are tested, and we will be tested, we have to be able to say, but if not.